This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Low snap. It is no good! And the worst special teams day in history has a fitting finish.
Why is Sheehan throwing that in our face once again? Well, this from Paul to start the show. Sunday was on Dan Quinn. The kicker should have never been out there. They went with a hurt kicker over a healthy kicker. Major blank up. From Denny, Kevin, the head coach took an important game and made his kicker's psyche more important than winning the game. Follow this. Seibert was feeling threatened by his replacement, Zane G. That would be Gonzalez. Denny, he did not go for the 4th and 2 in the first half when they've done it all year long, and instead thought Seibert could use a 50-yard field goal for his confidence. Then the 51-yarder at the end of the game on 2nd down. What? Seibert wasn't healthy enough to be out there, and the kickoffs were proof. You asked it. Why would you kick the ball to Turpin in that situation? Quinn's answer was basically that he wasn't healthy enough to kick it into the end zone. Big mistake to have him out there instead of Zane G. Well, good morning, everybody. How we doing? You know, here's one thing that I believe to be true about Sunday's loss to the Cowboys. This one really hurt. This one stung. Like, it was the first one for me in a long time that left, you know, kind of a bad taste afterwards. Felt like, not despondent, no, but certainly felt like, damn, you got to get that one. It's been a while, you know? I mean, we haven't had a good enough team to legitimately feel that way, to feel the sting of a loss. You know, they were an 11-point favorite, the biggest favorite they've been since 2017. They were at home against a bad team on short rest, while our team had a mini-bye worth of rest. You know, the teams over the last 6 to 7 years here just weren't good enough to really feel that kind of, you know, hurt after a loss. Losing games was more of the expectation, even when, you know, you thought they had a decent chance to win. You know, Sunday was kind of the first time since 2016, maybe, that we felt we had a good enough team that we could expect to win. You know, the 2016 season finale against the Giants was real sting and hurt and pain. No other team, really, you know, since that team was good enough to expect to win, you know, or to even play in games that were meaningful enough to kind of feel the sting of an expected win that went wrong, like Sunday. You know, more of a thought than a lecture. You know, the first 9 games, it's not that they were fantasy, but they were abnormal with a rookie quarterback, abnormal with a first-time coaching staff, and with a complete, almost complete, you know, a half to two-thirds roster changeover. You know, the truth is, and I, you know, this doesn't change the way we feel now because we're living in the moment. We're not living back, you know, Labor Day weekend. But anybody would have taken 7-5 at this point with right now playoff positioning. with a game against the Titans on Sunday where you're nearly a six-point favorite. You know, up and down is the way it was supposed to go, and it just didn't. It was all up until recently, and now we've got our down. And really, I don't count losing to Pittsburgh by a point, having the lead in a poorly played game at Philadelphia in the fourth quarter and losing. I didn't consider either one of those games to be hurtful in that way, or even a sign that up and down was coming. Sunday was, for sure. Now back to the kicker, you know, thoughts from Paul and Denny. So, look, I don't think that Dan Quinn brought Austin Seibert up for the purpose of enhancing his psyche because he was feeling threatened by Zane Gonzalez, who had not missed, right? Zane Gonzalez hadn't missed, I don't think, that Denton in the couple of games that he had kicked. He had kicked well. He had also kicked, you know, several touchbacks while he was there. You know, the fourth and two, it was unusual, right, that they put the kicker out there instead of going for it, you know, especially against that team. You know, second drive, you've got a 3-0 lead, got a chance. They've been doing that a lot of the year, and they've been successful doing it. They've been one of the best fourth down teams in the league. I don't think he put Seibert out there because he's like, I want to build this guy's confidence. And it was a 51-yarder, by the way, not a 50-yarder. And obviously he did not, you know, was not successful on that kick. But it was kind of strange that they didn't go for the fourth and two there. And, you know, I've already talked about this, but the 51-yarder with a minute 40 to go on second down was, for me, a bit of a stretch considering the kicker issues at that point. No doubt. I agree with you. But I understood why they did it. From a clock and timeout standpoint, you pretty much had to get the three if you were going to have a chance without recovering an onside kick. You needed to get it with, you know, somewhere around a minute 40 left, which is what they did. But still, you know, they couldn't have felt great about him kicking a 51-yarder after he had already missed a 51-yarder and missed a PAT. I don't know that I don't agree with you that he activated him for the game on Sunday for the purpose of, you know, getting his psyche right because he was feeling threatened by Gonzalez. I don't agree with that at all. I do wonder whether or not there is some, you know, second guessing in that building as to whether or not Seibert was healthy enough to have up for that game, and whether or not more consideration should have been given to the kickoff portion of the game on Sunday. They have been very good in kick coverage all year long. Let's make sure we understand that this has been a punt coverage and kickoff coverage unit that has been one of the better units in the league. You know, in kick coverage, kickoff coverage, and punt coverage. And we have seen all year long their intention of trying to get Seibert and even Gonzalez to knock that ball into that landing zone, into a spot in the landing zone that gives you a chance to get down and stop the returner before they get to the 30-yard line. You know, you bring into a lot of, you bring into the equation when you decide that you're going to cover a kick more than just the opportunity to nail him before the 30, but, you know, how often do we see a penalty on returns? So you have an opportunity to really pin them deep. But, you know, Jaylen Warren had a good kickoff return against them. Shipley had a decent return against them. And this was the returner that they have on their schedule. So, yeah, I agree with you. If Seibert wasn't healthy enough to kick the ball deep into the end zone to make Turpin think about not bringing it out or out of the end zone, which, by the way, is the reason the rule's in place right now, the new rule, is because too many kicks were kicked out of the end zone for the last few years, like three quarters of them. You know, so if your guy wasn't, if he can't do it, we've seen him do it, by the way. We have seen Seibert kick the ball deep into the end zone and even out of the end zone. But if he wasn't healthy, and Quinn implied that it was a hard thing for them to do, he wasn't specific about why. You know, it could have been field conditions. It could have been wind. But I'm guessing what Denny guessed, which is the kicker wasn't healthy enough to do that. If that's the case, they made a mistake Sunday. You know, this isn't talking about it after the fact. We talked about it on Friday as one of the keys to the game, is that Turpin's the guy, along with Lamb, that can make plays in the game that can impact the game. So don't let them. And they let them. They let him. In a bad spot, too, where you don't want the clock to run on a return, for starters. So, yeah. If he wasn't 100% healthy, this was not the game to have him up, because kickoffs should have been more seriously thought of as a potential game changer. You can be confident all you want in your kickoff coverage team, which they had good reason to be heading into that game. But you had given up a couple of decent returns in your last two games. And he was a different animal than the other guys that were returning kicks. And yes, just to emphasize, because I talked about this yesterday, the kickoff was effective. It was a really good kickoff into the landing zone. Hit, bounced underneath the legs of Turpin, and, you know, it threw off the whole coverage piece. Look, to blame Reeves or to blame anybody else for that return is crazy. I mean, the guy made a spin move and then an accelerated move to where he outran everybody, which he can do. It was a ridiculously incredible, sick return by Turpin. You just would have liked to have seen them take the ball out of his hands. And if Seibert really wasn't capable on Sunday of kicking the ball deep into the end zone or out of the end zone, then he shouldn't have been up. Should have been Gonzalez. I do agree with that part. I disagree with, you know, he brought up Seibert to get his confidence back. By the way, if that was the reason, it didn't work, clearly. Feel badly for Seibert, but this is professional football. And he was a big, big part of why they lost a game that everybody expected them to win, but not the only part. I mean, the rest of the team didn't do their part either. You know, in a game in which you're an 11-point favorite, you know, throw out the point spread. We all understood Dallas sucked as a team. They were a bad football team coming in. Teams had absolutely been blowing them the blank out. And it shouldn't have come down to a kicker. And maybe that was part of Quinn's thinking going into the game. I'd hate it to be, because that's selling an opponent too short. But maybe he was thinking, look, this is the game, we can bring him back. You know, there aren't going to be many big kicks, you know, and we'll be okay because we should dominate these guys. I mean, hopefully he's just kicking extra points all day. The fourth and two, and one of the callers called in. It's a really good point. Now, I went back. It's fourth and a long two. That's fine. But still, this was something that they, especially with the field position, you know, a 51-yarder at that point, you go for that. That is an analytics go-for. And by the way, a context go-for it as well. You know, because at that point, that was their second drive. Their opening drive, remember, started with the blocked field goal return. You had the speed option, which was a spectacular play. Just go back and watch that speed option play on 3rd and 12. It's outstanding. Really, I think, a call to get him into better field goal range. But, you know, you've got, as a runner on Sunday, a cheat code in which he takes it for 16, 17 yards. And, you know, your inability to really run the football with your running backs reared its ugly head early, right? With, you know, on the opening drive with Brian Robinson getting nailed in the backfield on the play he got hurt on for a 2-yard loss. And then Eckler got 3 and then no gain, you know, on runs. And then you're taking a shot to Ertz, which, you know, was incomplete, and they're, you know, talked to Cooley about that play on my podcast yesterday, and he felt like Ertz, he doesn't know how it's coached, but he said two things. Daniels needs to put more air under the ball, and Ertz shouldn't have leveled or flattened that route out in that spot. Anyway, yeah, Still feeling it a bit. I hear you on that. Yesterday didn't feel, or Sunday didn't feel good. And it puts them into a very, you know, take all the previous seasons out of the equation. We're living in this season right now. They're 7-5, and they've been at times a pretty damn good team, certainly on offense. We got to see that come back. But somehow, some way, regardless of whether it's done offensively or defensively, they got to win Sunday. Because it is not free fall yet. It's not implosion yet. But four losses in a row with two straight at home against Dallas and Tennessee, you know, at that point, I think they would get written off by a lot of people. It may be too early because you'd still have four games left in the season to play. And you've got a bye week after Tennessee to kind of get things together, hopefully. But, man, you need this one. This one is a Jay Gruden Code Red special. His Code Red was because he was going to potentially lose his job if they didn't, you know, if they didn't beat the Buccaneers in 2015. But this one doesn't have anything to do with job security. It has to do with season security. They need to beat the Titans any way, shape, or form. Right now, I would much prefer the 35-17 offense puts up 420 yards, you know, punts twice in the entire game against a good defensive football team, and you go into the bye week feeling much better about things, chance to get healthy, chance to get Marshawn Lattimore into the lineup. I'm not saying that he's out for this week. I don't know if he's out for this week. We'll find out more tomorrow for sure. But at the same time, if it ended up being, you know, 13-10, and neither side of the ball played great, or, you know, I'd take that too. Got to get to 8-5. Have to get to 8-5 going into those final four games. Because, you know, that Saints game doesn't look like it did 3 or 4 weeks ago. You know, the Saints have won two games in a row. They beat, you know, the Falcons. They beat the Browns, understood. They have a game Sunday against the Rams at home. And then they play the Giants when Washington's on their bye week. It's not inconceivable that the Saints could work their way back into playoff contention. Like, if they were to beat the Rams and then beat the Giants, they'd be 6-7. That would then be a huge game against Washington for wild card positioning. Even if Washington beats Tennessee, be a massive game. So that one obviously doesn't look great. The Atlanta game could be a massive game for both teams when they get there. The Eagles game clearly is going to be a big game. Even if you get to that game and the Eagles still have a hefty division lead, the Eagles are going to be playing for seeding. They're chasing down Detroit right now. The Eagles are leaving Washington in the division a bit in the dust right now. You know, they're three games up in the loss column with a win head-to-head already. They do play Pittsburgh. They do play Baltimore coming up. But Philadelphia right now is playing as if they may be one of the top three, four teams in the league. So the division race, I'm not calling it at this point. No way. I'm just saying that you could get to that game and the Eagles could still have, you know, two game lead with a head-to-head advantage at that point.